From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And we've been talking about building the Backyard Advantage, the most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs. In our last show, I shared with you kind of an intro to this. So this is part two of a two-part show. Today, I'm going to be talking about the three questions you got to get right. If you want to build something truly great, there's three main questions you got to get right. Hopefully, it gives you a little bit to think about as you build your advantage, because this is really all about you winning. And as David and Goliath know, David ended up, you couldn't see it, but David had the advantage. Stick around. There's really three questions that I go through in the morning, as well as I think about strategy within, you know, the companies I'm trying to build today. And the one thing that I would say is, how compelling is your vision? That's the first question that I think is important to understand, is how compelling is your vision? I mean, every company has a vision of where they want to take it, just about it. If not, you need to have that big dream. And I think a lot of times we think our vision is more compelling than what it actually is. I mean, there's no more powerful force on earth than the human soul on fire. When people are fired up to get after it, to run through the brick wall together, to fight as a team, that's invaluable. And the way to attract those people is by having a compelling vision and beginning to share that vision, sharing that vision with people that might want to join the cause, join the team. And a good story of that is really the launching of the Growth Factory. I started off the podcast in 2015 talking about all this energy around igniting an entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown I love. And while that was compelling to me, and maybe compelling at some level because I'm fired up about changing our hometown, people, I think, wanted to help, but they couldn't really see themselves in the vision. And I started making angel investments. You know, I had this mentality of put your money where your town is. And I began making angel investments and investing into small companies and thinking that, you know, that would be, you know, I've got to do more than just, you know, getting the words out. I got the talking part done, Haney. Start putting some action to it. And so I started making some investments, thinking I'll build a family of companies in Sacramento, similar to my security companies that all love each other, that have common ownership. So I began talking about that. I talked about this on this show and at different events that we did, this 100 millionaire business partners in my backyard, 100 successful business leaders, entrepreneurs that all love each other. And because we love each other, we'll want to work together to help each other, engineer wins for one another. And ultimately, that'll be great for our community. And we'll be the type of people that give back to the community and help the next one in line. And I began talking about that. And people began coming up to me saying, Mark, I want to be in the backyard. Mark, I want to be in the backyard. And ultimately, it was 2019 when we had our best of the best backyard party, where I invited my business partners. I invited the people that had helped me along the way with my podcast and my angel investing. And I began reiterating the vision, talking about how important entrepreneurship was, but also talking about how great we could be together. And I remember it feeling like this magical moment, the one you get when you suddenly realize that your dream is in the process of coming true. It was a great night in my backyard with my business partners, all loving each other. I think at that time I had invested up to into about 50 companies, but I had had some of the people that had, I guess, co-invested with me, some of the other people that had helped me along the way, some teammates of those people, and it was just a wonderful night. And after that party, I had a really special human being come up and say, "Mark, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of your team. I want to be a part of helping you shape this backyard, this opportunity." And he was one of the employees of one of the startups that I invested into. And he left the startup on good terms and came to be a part of our team. And that was December of 2019. Well, if you recall, a month or two later, that's when we started finding out that there's this virus going around called COVID. And the things that I was working on came to a screeching halt. The employees that were running our events and the people that were helping me with the podcast and the people that were helping me with my angel investing, you know, they began, you know, some of that stuff got put on hold, but Rick, the guy that had joined me more recently, joined me along with Monique Brown. And at the beginning, the three of us came together and said, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do here now that we can't operate? We've been shut down by the government. And, you know, we have a co-working space here and these other things that we do in terms of events. We were shut down." And for me, it was like flashbacks of, you know, the financial crisis. And but Rick and Monique stepped up and said, "Wait a minute, let's use this opportunity to dream up something great." And that's where the three of us came up with the idea of the Growth Factory. And the Growth Factory it's a venture capital firm and it's an entrepreneurial development group. And together we've built a backyard advantage. But the way that this thing kind of got off the ground was, all right, we're going to start a venture fund. So we're no longer as reliant on Mark Haney's money. And because I had been investing into these companies and we wanted to invest into more. Okay, so let's create a startup accelerator, an entrepreneurial development group. And let's go see if we can get some investors and some other people to rally around this concept. And as we created these series of rallies where we had invited people that were on my show to understand what we were working on and what the Growth Factory was all about. And as we began to share this backyard advantage, these group of people that all love each other, that began to resonate with a broader audience. The leaders of Sacramento were thinking to themselves, "Wow, I think I want to be a part of this." And the reason they could is because we were talking to the most influential people in Sacramento. They now were able to see, instead of Mark Haney and the entrepreneurial revolution in his little private angel investing world, they began to see, I could be a part of the Growth Factory. I can see myself in this group of people that's helping out, so I could invest into a venture fund. So our venture fund has 100 investors, and plus we have other investors that are working with us to invest more into our startup portfolio. And we're now invested into like 50 companies, 50 plus, through the Growth Factory. But as we did these rallies, these leaders of Sacramento, these high net worth individuals, these mayors and city council people and just people that really understand the importance of entrepreneurship and what they can do, they were able to say, okay, I can see how I could be a part of this. Our nonprofit Startup Accelerate entrepreneurial group, we saw large corporations saying, how do I get to be a part of this? I can see how I can add value to bring some of my innovation ideas to these innovative companies that you're investing into. The investors came in and said, hey, yeah, I want to throw some money into this. I want to own a part of Sacramento. I want to put my money where my town is. And people that wanted to help advise these companies and provide mentorship to these startup founders, they began to see themselves in the vision. And that was the difference. The vision became so much more compelling when they understood it better and when they saw themselves in the vision. Nobody could see themselves in the vision, and it felt really private. Well, the growth factory is everybody's company. We have investors and mentors and corporate partners, and the vision, it became much more compelling. I saw it go from not compelling, just being the entrepreneurial revolution, to semi-compelling, being, you know, Mark's backyard, to now it's the collective backyard of our entire region. And people are joining us every day to be a part of this opportunity. And so as you think about what you're building and think about your employees, right? The people that you want to join you that don't even know about you yet. Who knows about what your vision is? Who are you sharing it with? Are you sharing it in the circles that you run with in a way that is compelling and people see a spot on the team for themselves? If you're not, you need to be thinking about how to do that. And, you know, back to your creativity and your time set aside, if you need to be thinking about how compelling that vision is, because so many times I know entrepreneurs, they just show up and they go to work and, you know, next thing you know, they're trying to make sales and make it happen. And next thing you know, it's the end of the day and you're having dinner and you wake up and do it again. You got to set aside time to think about things that are important but aren't urgent. And creating a great vision is certainly key. You have any questions on that?
I would just, maybe you don't want to get into this, but I don't run a business. How does that question apply to me? You know, how compelling does my vision apply to a person, my family, my life?
Yeah, and some of you are thinking, I don't own my own business, and my goals aren't to scale a business necessarily. Well, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to build a great family? Are you trying to build a great body? Are you trying to build a great department within your company? Well, if it's going to be truly great, it's going to take more than just you and your imagination. It's going to take more than just you and your elbow grease, more than just you. Let's talk about your family. What's the vision for your family? Do they know the core values that are important to you? Can they recite those in the way that you would do? Can you envision what your kids and grandkids are going to be like 10, 20, 30 years from now? Is your spouse rallying around those same kind of things? Because if it's not clear, then it's not compelling. If you aren't talking about it with your family, then what would prompt them to grab a hold of this opportunity to become the most respected family in the world, or whatever your goal is for your family, the most loyal family to one another? What gets people rallied around to this? I know people who have their kids moving across this country, and, you know, then they only see their grandkids, you know, once a year when they go on a family vacation. Well, I mean, if that's what a great life is to you, then that's fine. But then let's build a business around everybody going to college and, you know, moving around the country and, you know, being in these disparate locations. For me, I wanted to live close to my family. We've lived in the same hometown, you know, our entire lives. Now we're on a family compound, which might be a dream of a lot of people. A lot of people talk about that. I'm working on Haneyville, right? The most magical place on earth outside Disneyland, where my two kids and 9 grandkids and my wife live out there. And together we're developing the vision for who we want to be at Haneyville. It's not the Mark Haney show for sure. These are adult children that need to have buy-in, and their kids need to have buy-in. They need to see themselves as part owners of this opportunity if they want to embrace it and really become a family that takes advantage of what's possible in terms of family unity. Because unity it's such an asset. I mean, big part of the growth factory is understanding that because we're all local, it's easier to get unity. And as a family, there's so many families that just aren't united. The amount that my kids have helped me, my son helped me start the show, my daughter helped me, you know, as I, after I sold my companies, get into a venture. Now I'm working with her and her real estate group. That's the way our family is built. And it's because we have a compelling vision. We've been talking about our vision for one another. And, you know, we started Allegiant Vets together and now we're helping veterans. It's because we communicate with one another. It's because we communicate about what we want to be and how great we want to be. And we're not perfect. I mean, hey, my people that know us well will know that we are not perfect. We've got all kinds of flaws and we make mistakes. And sometimes my kids get in fights with one another and, you know, this and that. We're not perfect. But we're committed to each other. We're committed to the vision. They're committed to the Backyard Advantage. They're committed to Haneyville being a truly magical place. And it's because we talk about it. We live it. We love it. We have our own website. It's who we are. Okay. Hope it doesn't sound like I'm bragging. Okay, dude. But it could. Oh yeah, let me say that. You might be thinking, okay, Mark, you're 6 years old. You've had all this success. Well, it all starts. It starts when you decide it's going to start. And my wife and I, I've been married close to 40 years. And, you know, we decided what kind of family we wanted to have when we first got married. And before we got married, we were talking about those things. And then we were communicating those with our kids. So these are the kind of things that it can start anytime. You don't have to wait till you've made your first million before you can set aside time to figure out who you want to be. I would say set aside the time now to figure out how you're going to make your first million and then how you're going to leverage that success into the next thing in your life. And not everybody's going to have a family compound. There's a whole bunch of ways to spend time together without living on the same property. So I hope I'm not sounding like I'm bragging. I'm trying to give you the idea that everything is figure outable. Anything is possible. Just decide what you want. Okay. Second question. Oh, this is something so if you're starting on your vision, try to imagine what it might look like. We've all heard the term, a picture is worth 1,000 words. We've all heard the term that a picture is worth 1,000 words. And so if you're first starting out thinking about what you want to become, as an athlete, as a physical specimen, as a family, as a business, and you begin thinking about, like, what might that look like? I pictured vividly that backyard party, and it was why it was so magical when it actually began to come true. I pictured this family compound, and I've had this visual. It's like my secret friend. It's my daydream, and it's special to me, and it's, I think about it a lot. And, you know, we've heard the term, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Because you look at this, you buy a puzzle, and, you know, on the outside of the puzzle is what? It's this picture of what you're supposed to be building, how the pieces are supposed to come together. If you can't even see what it is you're trying to piece together, then how do you make these important decisions? We need to see it so we can figure out. Our next question is, what are you going to do with what you got, right? You've got these puzzle pieces, these assets, these strengths, these weaknesses, these opportunities, these threats. What are you going to do with what you got? And to me, that's the second question you got to get right if you're going to build something truly great. You're going to need to attract people to help you to do this. And you need to begin, you know, with that vision that everybody can get behind or can at least see, and then start thinking about who can help you. Because if you think about this, what's your biggest asset? Think about that. What is your biggest asset? Is it people? Maybe. Is it you? Maybe. Is it your experience? Maybe. Is it the hardships you've gone through? The lessons you've learned through going through hard things? Is it your education? Is it your net worth? Maybe you've got a great net worth. For a lot of us, though, it's our people. And, you know, you think if you're the president of Federal Express, I mean, you've got to get the packages to the customer absolutely overnight. You've got to decide, you know, is it going by plane? Is it going by ground? Is it going by truck? Who's going to work there? You know, how are you going to do this? Even a massive company like FedEx, the biggest decision the CEO needs to make is, how am I going to allocate these resources? What am I going to do? Or you, if you go home at night and you're trying to decide what to have to do for dinner, you know, the kids are hungry and you open up the fridge, you look in the pantry and, you know, you haven't been shopping for a bit, but you need to get dinner on the table within the next 10 minutes. What are you going to do with what you got? You start pulling some stuff out of the fridge and the pantry. You start mixing it together. Next thing you know, you got, I don't know, breakfast for dinner. Who knows? What are you going to do with what you got? So if you set aside time in the mornings, but it can be any time, you can start assessing what it is you have. What are all these different puzzle pieces that need to get moved around and put in the right place? And as you begin to do that, people will see that things that you don't see. And so attracting people to help you, whether it be a spouse, your children, your teammates, finding people, at least for me, I need to find people that are good at putting puzzle pieces together, because I'm not that good at it. And I'm good at, you know, the vision part, the dream, but how do we get people to, you know, make up for all the things that I suck at? Well, I got to have teammates to do that. Rick and Monique and Scott and my other teammates, they're good at doing things that I'm not good at. They're good at seeing my blind spots. They're good at seeing how together we can piece things together. And this is an important thing. And so, like, if you're saying, well, what should I do on that front? The one thing, you know, I talked about inspired action earlier, and I would say, be ready, don't get ready. And I think that that morning of truth, that time set aside in the morning, it helps me to be ready. So when I hit CrossFit in the morning or I hit yoga in the morning, I'm ready. I've already stretched. I've already got myself fired up. I've already done that. And if you think about one of the best stories of that is of being ready instead of getting ready is Brock Purdy. We all know that he was Mr. Irrelevant, number 262, taken in the draft. The last guy taken in the draft, he probably wasn't even sure he was going to make the team. Somehow he ends up making the team. Other quarterbacks in front of him get hurt. And next thing you know, he jumps in and he's ready. He's not, so he may be surprised, but he's ready, right? Be ready, don't get ready. Obviously, he took him to the NFC Championship. Last year, he took him to the Super Bowl. But because he was ready, he got himself ready. No matter where you're starting, get ready or be ready. I think about this kid that I met in Starbucks, kind of met him. You may be working at a Starbucks today. Who knows what you're doing in your job? But the coach is always looking. Right? You think about that. I would go into Starbucks every morning. And I haven't been in there lately like I was, but I'm a creature of habit. And I used to go into Starbucks every morning, and there was this young man. His name was Anthony. And Anthony stood out. He was like, wow, this guy's working faster than everybody else. I'm thinking, who is this guy? This guy is motivated. And I walk in, hey, Mark, how you doing? And I'm good. Good, Anthony, how you doing? He's like, living the dream. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know. And every time I come in there, I'd see that same thing. This Anthony, he's working harder than everybody else. He's more upbeat than everybody else. He's making other people better on his team. It's like, this guy's not the manager. He's just a great employee. I'm thinking to myself, this guy's probably busting his butt to become a manager, to become something within Starbucks. Maybe he wants to be the CEO of Starbucks. I don't know. And what are you doing, Anthony? How's it going? And he's like, I'm living the dream. He always said the same thing. And at first I thought he was just being sarcastic. And then one day it hit me. He was living the dream. He was living the dream because he was in the process of being ready. He was in the process of getting ready. I went in later, and I'm like, where's Anthony? Anthony wasn't there anymore. And it turns out Anthony got recruited for a job that was more compelling than being the coffee maker at Starbucks, apparently. But he got recruited. The coach is always looking. If you are ready, if you show up ready to even what may look like a stepping stone job like Starbucks or a dead-end job, fast food or whatever you might do, you look at it, it's just an 8-to-5 job and it's just a job. And it's like, well, wait a minute. How did Anthony get recruited out of nowhere from one of his customers? Now, I was thinking about recruiting him. How did Anthony get that when everybody else is kind of going through the motions? It's because he was getting ready. It's because he was living the dream. He was thinking about taking it to another level. He must have been. Otherwise, why would he have been doing that? And so that to me, that's that kind of that thing of like, you never know who's watching, right? The coach is always watching. There's always somebody or the scout is always watching. And, with Brock Purdy's situation, Kyle Shanahan, the head coach, even in the training camp when he was third string, when he made the team, he was, the story goes that he told some of his other coaches that he thought Brock was probably the best player. He earned the respect in training camp months before the season ever started, months before he ever took the field as a as an NFL quarterback. So what are you going to do with what you got? Be ready. Don't get ready. Any questions on that?
I don't think so. Pretty thorough.
Okay. Let's see. Well, I have more on that. I have more something else to say on that. And the one thing that you probably say to yourself is, How do I set that time aside, as we talked about earlier? And because people have FOMO, right? We've all heard that fear of missing out. And, we only get one life. But if we could adopt the idea of the joy of missing out, I heard the other day the term JOMO, joy of missing out. And that may be hard for a lot of people to fathom, but as much as we need to be ready, part of being ready is cutting other things out of our lives, right? So many of us, especially as entrepreneurs, we're trying to chase 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shiny objects. We're trying to be everything to everybody, and we can't. We need to take care of ourselves first, and that means you're going to have to say no to stuff. It may mean saying no to staying up and watching Netflix. It may mean, no, I can't go to the Kings game tonight. No, I can't do some of these other things because I've got to figure out how to win tomorrow morning. And if I'm out all night saying yes to everything, then how am I going to be at my very best, at my very best opportunity tomorrow at 3:15? I'm not. So many times how we allocate our resources, it's more important to cut things out of our life so we can focus instead of adding more things into our life that only dilutes our focus. And so we really do have to think about stopping, like Rick, Monique, and I did. We got the beauty of COVID, right? The blessing in disguise, the silver lining of COVID is we had to stop. And that's when we had to reformat who we wanted to become. And we came up with a more compelling vision because we stopped. It was because we stopped. And again, you're going to need to cut things out of your life on the regular. So many times we do this, we take all the clutter out of our lives, take all the clutter, and then it just kind of gets, we accumulate these other things, these extra little habits, these other little things that we end up doing. It's like, next thing you know, you got this extremely busy life again, and you look around, it's like, I'm spending a lot of time on things that aren't about advancing my dream. I'm working on things that aren't dream-based. And it's like, well, every moment that I spend thinking about things that are not dream-based or working on things that are not dream-based, I'm taking away from the dream. I'm taking away from the commitments I have to the people that are helping me with the dream. And, you know, that kind of leads me to the next question. What's your commitment level? And what is your commitment level? Maybe the most important piece of winning. We talk about needing stick-to-itiveness to get through and accomplish big things, because accomplishing big things, it isn't easy. Accomplishing big things comes with a lot of pain. I guess I didn't go into all the times I got knocked down and had to get myself back up in starting a podcast, and, you know, starting to figure out who I wanted to be, in starting our security cameras company, almost going out of business after loaning a guy a bunch of money. He couldn't pay us back. Guy files bankruptcy on us, and we end up in doing this business. Our video stores, that was, we had Blockbusters in Hollywood, and ultimately Netflix next, you know, coming in. You know, it's not easy. And building business is not easy. Building a great family is not easy. We've had all kinds of struggles. But I think we have to ask ourselves, what's my commitment level? How committed am I to that vision? How committed am I to my teammates? How committed am I to what I want in my life? And a lot of times we start off and we're not that committed, right? It's more like a passion project. It turns out it's like it's a side hustle, and that's okay. I don't expect you to be as committed to your future spouse when you first get engaged as you are when you've been married 39 years, right? You become more and more committed if you choose the right person. And it's that way in business as well. You start off, I'm kind of committed, seeing how it goes, developing confidence. Maybe you grab a teammate. Next thing you know, we're starting to believe in what we're doing, and the commitment level rises. And that commitment is contagious. That commitment is infectious. When people see that you are all in, that you are going for it, that you have put it all out on the line, that you are sacrificing, that you are willing to make sacrifices, other people see that and they begin to feel that same way too. I mean, realistically, let's face it, you're the CEO of your family, right? You're the CEO of your life. You're the CEO of your department. You're the CEO of winning for you. And no matter what you're doing in life, everything's a leadership issue. And you just got to decide, as the CEO of my life, you know, how committed am I going to be? Because that commitment level will attract other people that like to commit to stuff. Think of the story of my son in the Marine Corps. I remember, you know, he's getting ready to deploy to Afghanistan, right? The most dangerous place in the world. And he and his Marine Corps brothers are, you know, they're like my kids, right? I've, you know, in many ways, right? These guys are the types of people that have come over to my house and spend the night, you know, at our house when they come in to visit for the weekend and stuff. So we became really close with a lot of my son Marcus's buddies. And so when they were getting ready to deploy to Afghanistan, I rented out the Ribco in 29 Palms, California, right? It was the only restaurant really in town. I was able to rent it. And then we bought dinner for all of these Marines and their wives or their spouses. And it was the night before they were getting ready to deploy to Sangin Valley, Afghanistan, where more Marines had been killed than in any other place in Afghanistan, and that's where they were going the next day. You know, real bullets, real blood, and it was happening. And we were fortunate to spend that evening together having dinner. And I, as a former football coach, I was able to stand up and give what I felt was a compelling pregame speech so that they, if I could increase their odds just one little bit, with the words that I said. And I ended the speech to get them to look inside themselves and to look around the room at the people that they were going to war with, the people that they had been training with. And we said, look to the buddy to the left of you and the right of you and have each other's back, right? You're going to need each other. And this is and always has been in God's hands. And Marcus gets up and gives a big toast and Semper Fi. And it was like a raucous night. But the next morning when these young men pulled away in the buses and I looked around and I'm back with the women and the children and the people that aren't going off to fight, it was the most humbling moment of my life. A few weeks later, his wife has a kid. And about 3 months later, we get the call. Marcus was coming home. He had been in a firefight. He was the first person out of a vehicle in this convoy of Marines as they come up and were ambushed. He jumps out of the vehicle. He takes a shot, AK-47 round in the leg. Under fire, his buddies jump out, begin the fight, and ultimately they get him into the helicopter where he was rushed to safety. And, you know, several surgeries later, my boy's okay. But if you think about commitment and how compelling is your commitment, and you're thinking about who are you willing to sacrifice in that kind of way for, who would you die for, who do you want to live for? These are the kind of questions that tie right back to your commitment level. And I think that's possibly the most important question that we've got to get right. So really, there's three questions you got to get right. How compelling is my vision? What am I going to do with what I got? And what's my commitment level? And if you get those three right, you can attract a truly great team and you can build a truly great life. The advantage is everywhere. You want to build a truly great life. You want a truly great family. You want to build a truly great business. You want to have people that really want to stand behind you. They want to bring their imagination, that bring out your stick-to-itiveness, that bring out your inspired action. Just realize that the advantage is everywhere. The truth is everywhere. He is everywhere as we think about our lives. We want to mesmerize our family and friends with the totality of our awesomeness. We want to build something that we're proud of when we get old or when we get a little bit older. So we think about building that. Why don't you just think about the people you know in your life, the people that you see every day, whether it be Starbucks, in the room you're at right now, listening to this, at your office. Opportunity and advantage and inspiration, it's everywhere. And I'll leave you with this quick story that kind of, I guess, emphasizes that. It's about these two fish. And they're swimming along, these two younger fish, and they come up along this older fish, and the older fish says to the two younger fish, "Hey boys, how's the water?" And the two younger fish kind of look at him with a weird look on their face, and they keep swimming along. One fish says to the other, "What the heck is water? The opportunity is all around us. The advantage is all around us. The truth is all around us. We just have to look around and see it and decide to seize that opportunity." And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.